Amen. We continue our Advent series. Advent means the waiting, the arrival, the preparation. That's what this season is for. And each week we take a theme and a topic. So that last week was hope. This week is peace. Next week will be joy. And I have struggled with the conversation about peace, just in my own heart this week. Precisely because I don't always succeed at the peace that I hope for. I feel like I'm like the Israelites, where God has done unbelievable things over and over and over again. And like them, I respond more to circumstances than to the promise and power of God. And so today, as we approach Isaiah 40, Isaiah 40 began last week talking about hope, where it says, comfort, comfort my people. And then it shifts, like there's this promise, every hill will be raised up, every valley will be raised low, and then it ends with this kind of promise for those of us for whom the promise of God has been present, and yet it just hasn't worked out. Like, you know, it hasn't worked out yet. And God's promise is there, but we live in this interim season of, Lord, what's happening now? I mean, in the Israelite story, there's this moment in Exodus where they get freed from Pharaoh's army. And in Exodus 15, they have perhaps the greatest celebration of kind of, the Lord has done this. The Lord is amazing. God is always going to be with us. And then do you know what happens right after that? They whine. They complain. It feels to me, frankly, like most of us, where you begin with kind of, hey, listen, God has brought you this far. And then the moment you wake up in the morning, you wonder, okay, but is he going to do it again? And you lose some peace in that element because you struggle to actually pay attention to God has done it before. He's promised to do it again. And you lose some of your peace. And you start to complain. I think most of our lack of peace is self-inflicted. Here it is in Isaiah 40, 27 through 31. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord and my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The beginning point for us today is this question about why do we complain? I mean, there's that great comic sketch of everything's awesome and nobody's happy, where you realize that there's wireless internet on planes and yet no one's satisfied. I think we have great vehicles, we have great roads, we have so much stuff. Like, I can't wait till actually personally until AI and robots do all my housework. Like, I'm excited about such things. My wife won't let it in the house, but I'm still excited for that season, in part because, well, it's gonna be cool. Like, there are things I don't wanna do that a robot could do. And here's the funny thing. Actually, I'm a little nervous about this age. I'm being hyperbolic in this moment, but you know what's funny? Even when we get flying cars, and even when we have robots that can make our meals, and like the Jetsons, you just walk through a thing and you shower and shave and you're clothed, people will still complain. Like, what do you think that would exist out there that you wouldn't go to a place of whining or anxiety or fear for? Like, this element of the human nature of Israel, I pick on Israelites and the Jewish people in the Old Testament for complaining all the time, except that, well, I have kids, you know? I was once a kid. Like, frankly, just because you're 70 doesn't mean you stop whining. I mean, what are you going to talk about in heaven when you have nothing that hurts on your body parts? Like, what are you going to discuss at some point in the future? Like, this is what we humans do. Why do you complain, O Jacob? Do you not know? Have you not heard that God is faithful? Sometimes I think people look at me and other pastors and they think, well, they must not ever fear or worry or have anxiety. And that's just not true. I struggle with it on a daily basis. Mostly because I need to wake up in the morning and reread Isaiah 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? That the joy that comes from God, the hope that comes from God, is actually a testimony that God has been faithful. He will be faithful. And what I have to do in my daily life is get off social media and go to scripture and figure out what matters best. Do you not know? Have you not heard? God has been faithful. I've told this story a number of times, but it's still funny to me. It's still one of those most significant times where I was called out for my anxiety. I was, I don't mean anxiety in a clinical sense. We have Beacon of Light. If you have that, feel free to go. I would love that. I have my own counselor on occasion, but that's not, I just mean you wake up and you just can't get thoughts out of your head. You're just thinking about other things. And I struggled in the fall of 2012 because I had gotten everything I wanted except a wife. We had launched a contemporary service, and we had, from day one, we had hundreds of people show up, and it was amazing. And I've been doing that now for 13 years here in the life of this church. And that fall, I was whining to my twin sister that I didn't have a girlfriend or a wife. I think I'd just gotten dumped. I was a 28-year-old divorced preacher. Like, that's not an easy setup, okay? Like, I just think there was some, you know, I was running with a parachute behind me, frankly. And I didn't realize that God had a plan. My twin sister looked at me and said, do you really have that little faith? And I go, what do you mean? She goes, do you believe that God has you at St. Andrew for a reason? I said, yes. Do you believe that God intentionally designed what's happening with the revitalization, new young people showing up at church? Do you think that that was intentional, that God has been faithful to you? I go, yes. She then looks at me and says, how can you have so little faith in this? Isn't God going to find some way to make this right? And it was literally the next month that I found Becky, who actually found my divorce. She goes, well, I'm going to get a good story out of dinner. Like, at least, like, that setup mattered. You realize in the retrospect that God has been with you in ways that you can't even fathom and you could not have predicted. And that all your whining was actually just a waste of every single bit of your time. And so part of what I have done and learned to do is to go back in my life and name the places where God has been faithful. Sometimes through scripture and sometimes through my own life. 5 years ago, I guess next week or the week after, I found out that I was going to officially be named the next senior pastor of St. Andrew's. But 5 years. And I think back about those 5 years, and there were moments of just sheer losing of Robert, of disaffiliation, of so many pieces that were just, I couldn't have predicted, I couldn't have known, and I wouldn't have chosen to walk through. And yet, here, 5 years later, I look back and I think, all right, well, he did it. You know, God did it in ways that I couldn't even imagine, in ways that, frankly, for our community, we are healthier and stronger and have more young people in the children's choir singing at 9:30. Like, it was amazing. God is doing amazing things in this place. And there are these moments where I wake up and I'm nervous about, you know, okay, well, are we going to get this thing right? And, you know, are these numbers going to be right for attendance or church? We have the right Christmas Eve times. We have a lot of them, by the way. Check it out. I worry about these moments. And you know what the Lord tells me? Is I go back to this place of Isaiah 40 where it says, why do you complain, O Arthur? Do you ever put your name in the scripture like that? It really kind of guts you. I recommend it. Why do you whine, O St. Andrew? Do you not know? Have you not heard that the Lord God is the everlasting God? That those moments where you struggle, those moments where you think, oh man, what am I gonna do? It turns out that actually God is working right now and you just can't even see it. And peace, we lose it because we are dictated. We dictate our lives based on circumstances and not Jesus. And we imagine that if I just follow Jesus, I'm going to get literally every dot in my life right at every moment that I want to. Do you know that old cross stitch? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13, great verse. I love it. There are moments, particularly when I was in high school, that I thought that meant I could become an Olympic swimmer or an astronaut. Or, you know, what I really wanted, if I wasn't going to be a preacher, was going to be president of the United States. I'm grateful I'm where I am. And I thought that scripture was, you can get whatever you wish. But listen, there's a problem anytime you read a scripture verse that sounds like that God is the genie from Aladdin, rather than the one who died on the cross and rose from the dead and entered human flesh so that you and I might live. Because when you actually read the passage, it means something different. Philippians 4. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Let me just point you here for a second to note that the only way you actually get peace is that he is the God of peace. Paul is writing here encouraging you to have the right mindset, that it is entirely about mindset, not circumstances, and then he doubles down on it, for he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I'm referring to being in need, for I have learned to be whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through Christ, through him who strengthens me. In any case, it was kind of stress. The point of this is the opposite. This is not, I'm going to beat Michael Phelps's gold records. That's not it. It is actually, my friends, I like to do archery, and so they told me that I ought to try for the next Olympics in archery. I'm not going to do this. I don't. But like, Christ who strengthens me, right? That's what the verse says. No! What it says is, when there's no physical possible way you're going to succeed in this endeavor, you can still be content. When you get fired, you can be content. When you goes public and everything's great, you can be content. I have known people with a lot who are content. I know people who have nothing that are content. And I know people, by the way, who have nothing and really have no peace at all. And people have a lot and really have no peace at all. In fact, this is the challenge of the Christmas season, is to realize that Jesus is coming again, and the only thing that's going to last is his kingdom and not ours. And so when you and I are looking for peace in this world, it cannot be from outside circumstances. Do you know how many people have gotten the job of their dreams and woken up the next morning miserable? For whom they've retired and have a nest egg that was their number they were going for, and wake up the next morning and goes, so what do I do now? One of my favorite stories is a podcast I did with Scotty Scheffler's caddy, who used to caddy for Bubba Watson, who after Bubba won his second Masters, calls him 2 weeks later. Starts the phone call. Is this all there is? And he goes, well, this is Ted Scott. He goes, well, I don't know what you mean. He goes, you mean I've won two Masters and this is as good as it feels? I'm like, listen, if you can't be satisfied with two green jackets, I have nothing for you. The world literally has nothing to offer you. You have made it. You have arrived with, I would rather win two gold jackets and be emperor of Rome, or green jackets and be the emperor of Rome. I just would. I don't know about you, but like, to me, that's the pinnacle. And you sit there and realize you could still be just as grumpy 2 weeks later. You could still be just as annoyed, just as lack of peace, where you wake up in the morning significance, and you know that there is someone who has nothing. They can't break 130 on the golf course, and they're sitting out there just happy hitting the ball down it, right? Listen, this is a wife. The point of Philippians is not, I can get anything that I wish. The point is, I can be satisfied with whatever lot the Lord has for me. Ooh. Listen, all right, just to sell you, it's anxiety producing on occasion to be in front of all this technology that can or cannot work. Like, but here's the deal, Lord is king no matter what, isn't he? Like, this is the point of Advent, is that you and I get to proceed with our lives, with everything that happens, where we wake up in the morning and say, God, your will, not mine. Can I have your kingdom and not my kingdom? Because there is no peace in a kingdom that I am in charge of. There is no peace when I am worried about what you think about me rather than what the Lord thinks about me. There is no peace when I wake up and I think this is my job to lead the church rather than God's job and only my job to be faithful. You challenge this Advent, find the patterns, find the systems that allow you to put your trust in God, because otherwise there is no peace. John Wesley had his covenant prayer, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you or discarded for you. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily give all things to your pleasure and disposal. Why? Because it's the only way to have peace. Isn't it crazy to think that you had the Emperor of Rome or Herod or Pontius Pilate, and none of them had the peace that Mary did in a backwater little stable because the king of the universe came and made his home with her. So as we gather together for this table, I encourage you to take communion today where you receive it and you anything else in your life that you've been relying on? Is there a loss you had recently? Give it to Jesus. Is there an opportunity ahead of you? Give it to Jesus. Is there a joy ahead of you or a sorrow ahead of you? Give it to Jesus. He is the only one that can. So the night in which he was betrayed, he gathered his disciples together. He broke the bread and he said, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Eat of this as often as you can in remembrance of me. After the supper, he took the cup, poured it out for his disciples and said, this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of this as often as you can in remembrance of me. God, pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be your body redeemed by your blood. God, we come to you today and receive you. God, can we give you our fears? Can we give you our desires and be content with what you have given us? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.